Amen. As I was looking at this, studying this, reading these scriptures, just the first part here is really, to me, very amazing. To encourage our faith and our confidence in God's faithfulness and the reality and the truth of the connection from Genesis to Revelation. The church has moved through an era of time, and it's already kind of passed, and it's been refuted, but there was an era of time where everybody just said, well, we're just a New Testament church. And they segregated the Old Testament, said, that's just nothing to do with us today. But that's not valid. That's not truth. The Old Testament is the storybook of the truths of the kingdom of God, of the rewards that happen of obedience and the destruction that happens of disobedience. It's all found there. And I just want to throw this in here. Even God, when, and I can't remember whether it's in any of my notes here. I've read so many things today and studied different things today. But there was one portion of Scripture where God was telling the children of Israel, you're not going in to possess this land because of your righteousness and your obedience and that you're good folks. Just kind of paraphrasing a little bit. Said, you're going into this land because I'm keeping my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the cup of iniquity of these people is full, and they need to be judged and destroyed. That's why you're going in. You're my tool of fulfilling my promise and bringing judgment upon all these people of the land of Canaan who have rejected me and served false gods. God's a multitasker. There's not one thing God does that it doesn't have a multiple effect. He's got it under control, church. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 22 through 24. It says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name, and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the truths of the kingdom of God and the truths, Lord God, of men of days gone by. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, let your Spirit anoint us tonight, Lord God, that we might grow in your grace and in your knowledge and receive your word, that we might be made strong thereby. Father, we give you praise and glory and honor and thank you for Jesus Christ and his finished work. And in his holy name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated again tonight. I want to preach tonight on fellowship. Not necessarily fellowship of the saints, but I want to talk about fellowship with God with the intent of building our relationship with God. Now, already tonight, the songs that have been sung, the testimonies that have been told here tonight have all been pointing forward to this message and the relationship we can have with God and the relationship God desires to have with us. This is the number one priority for a child of God, is having fellowship with God, thus building our relationship with God, building our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is all going to be worked in us and through us by the Holy Ghost of God. That you cannot separate the triune God. Now, hallelujah. Every work and every facet of God, the Spirit of God is the working power and the working force to bring everything to fruition and everything to faith and everything to victory. It's when I learn to allow the Spirit of God to direct my paths and to direct my mind frame and to allow Him to give me that sound mind. Hallelujah. What is a sound mind? It's a mind that thinks according to the Word of God and doesn't operate on its own and its own capacity, but has found itself submitted to God and operates with the mind of Christ. That's a sound mind. The sound mind is goes along with the song that Sister Pepper sang about building up the wall and I won't come down. You know, the devil came by to talk to me today. Did you hear that part in that verse? Anybody had the devil come by and talk to you today? And per se, we realize it's not really the devil himself. It could have been, you know, but he's only one individual. He's not omnipresent. I mean, he can only be one place at one time. But yet, there are demonic spirits and demonic influences, and there are still thought patterns in our own mind of the carnal ways and the worldly ways. And so has the enemy come by today and talk to you? Try anytime someone tries to bring doubt to your mind about God or unbelief towards God, or even you yourself begin to start saying, well, you know, if God really loved me, then he would have done this, or he would have done this, or he would have done this. Well, that's what that song means. The devil came by to talk to me today, trying to discourage me, whether it came from demonic spirits or it came from my own bad frame of mind. My mind's capable of having a bad frame from time to time. Isn't it amazing how the mind operates? Because we use that frame of mind, which correlates with a picture frame. In other words, thoughts come to my mind, and then it becomes a picture in my mind. And all of a sudden, now we're thinking negatively, and now we're thinking unbelief, and now we're thinking doubt, and that doesn't always necessarily come from the devil. That can come from the old man just as well. He's kind of kin to the devil, if you didn't know that. Kinfolk from way back. Woo, hello, hallelujah. So the reality is walking with God and building a relationship with God is always under attack, always trying to prevent you from building up that wall of relationship with Jesus Christ, building up that wall of partition to keep sin out and keep full of Christ, hallelujah. And so what I'm after here tonight is realizing that fellowship with God does take effort. It's going to take the Word of God. It's going to take very, very important moves in my mind and in my decisions to build my relationship with God. Because if I don't build it, it won't happen. Even if I've been washed in the blood, even if I've been filled with the Spirit of God, if I don't build my relationship with God, it still will not happen. And I will find myself faltering and failing even when I have the power source available, because I'm not building my relationship with God. I'm not taking care of the basics. I'm not taking care of the foundation. The foundation is Christ Jesus, Him crucified. But I've got to build that house on top of that foundation. I've got to build my walk with God. I've got to build my relationship with God. And so many times, and so sad, this is where a majority of Christians fail. And they wonder why they fall out of love with Jesus Christ. And Sister Pepper shared that of that individual. And a lot of people will say, well, he never knew Jesus to start with. No, that's not necessarily true. But what he did not do was continue to build his relationship with Jesus Christ. Just the starting point of being born again is not the end result of me stepping foot in glory. No, being born again is the separation of sin and sanctifying that heart and that mind and becoming a dwelling place for God. But I've got to build my relationship with God. And so here in Genesis 5 and 22, we find the first man who built that relationship with God in a magnificent way, in a mighty way. His name was Enoch, and Enoch walked with God for 300 years. How long have you walked with God? I've only got a tenth of that going on. 36 years. Enoch, but that wasn't very long, really. As you read in Genesis chapter 5, you find they lived for 792 years, 900 and some years. So Enoch was very young at 365. Ooh, that makes me feel young tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. But the key fact is Enoch walked with God even after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And so he thus walked with God 365 years. He walked with God, and then all of a sudden God took him, translated him. He was gone. Just wasn't there anymore. He was gone at such a young age. 365 years old. And so then we find, and this is the wonderful part. Here we find in Hebrews, they're still talking about Enoch. That shows me the link between the Old Testament, shows me the link between Genesis and the book of Hebrews, shows me the link from the beginning all the way to the end. After all, Jesus Christ is the beginning and he is the end. So that means together. Hallelujah. From Genesis all the way to Revelation, the revealing of Jesus Christ and what God really desires in the life of a believer is a relationship. A relationship. Not a one-sided relationship, but a full, complete relationship with God. And that's what Enoch had. In Hebrews 11 and 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Right there is the very foundation of building a relationship with God. This is the very foundation of building a relationship with anybody. Enoch lived to please God. Hallelujah. Enoch wasn't living for his self pleasure. He found, and Lucas was preaching on this Sunday night, he found his pleasure in walking with God. Now, I don't know how this relationship went, but I know it had to be pretty personal. I know it had to be pretty intense. And I know that God had to have some way, form, or fashion revealed himself to Enoch because God took him. So you've got to kind of read between the lines, so to speak, of the type of relationship Enoch had for God to just come and take him to the third heaven. Take him past the black hole. I don't know that for sure. I don't know where the third heaven's at, but I know it's real. I know it's out there, and I know if there's a black hole and nobody can see in it, it's a good spot for it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, just common sense. That'd be a good spot for it. Huh? Amen. So we see Enoch pleased God. So, and then, not only is the writer of Hebrews talking about Enoch, then we move to Jude. Jude chapter 1, verse number 14. And Enoch also. And he mentions where he's at. He's the seventh from Adam. So lets you know he's talking about Genesis chapter 5. That Enoch, not some other Enoch, but the Enoch of Genesis chapter 5. The seventh from Adam prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. That means he had a pretty good relationship. He was talking with God, and God was telling him about things of the end times. Wow. See, we don't think about that when we read in Genesis that Enoch walked with God. But you got to start putting two and two together plus another two, building the relationship with God and the reality that Enoch had that relationship where he talked with God and God talked with him. And Enoch prophesied about the last day's events, that is, the Lord's going to come with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Sounds like the world we live in, doesn't it? Absolutely. Judgment is coming. Hallelujah. And so Enoch prophesied that. Enoch spoke about that. The relationship Enoch had with God, the fellowship Enoch had with God, that one-on-one communication with God. Hallelujah. And yet there's Christians that wonder if God still talks to you. You've got to build that relationship with God. It starts with the born-again experience. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You can't build a relationship with God until there's a new creature that's created inside of you that's on his level, that can communicate with God. Got to be a new creature created. And then you need to be plugged in to the communication line. And that's the Holy Ghost. This is why Jesus told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high, because they needed plugged in directly to the throne room of God. Praise the Lord. We've got a router sitting back here on our sound booth because we were having great difficulty doing our Facebook Live when the router was over there all the past two metal or a metal wall, well, one sheetrock wall, a metal wall, another wooden wall, and the router's over in that room, and we were having a hard time getting communication going on where it wouldn't drop out or buffer out in here. So what we did is we run a wire all the way over to that router that was hooked all the way into the power source of the internet, and thus we plugged in. So we would have uninterrupted communication. Whoa. You got to get plugged in, church. You got to get filled with the Holy Ghost of God, baptized in the Holy Ghost of God. You got to get plugged in, hallelujah, to where there's uninterrupted communication, hallelujah, going on between the throne room of God and your heart, your mind, and your soul. Hallelujah. This is why it's important that we continually be plugged in or refilled with the Spirit of God. We use that terminology and we use that analogy to give us an understanding. I mean, you know, you can have a power tool, and of course we're living in the hour where we're using cordless power tools, battery-operated power tools. But tell me, is there anyone in here that would love to use a power tool with a dead battery? I went through three batteries today, what I was doing, because they were all low on charge, unbeknownst to me. And I have three batteries, but tell me what good is three batteries that have no power? So tell me, what's a Christian that has no power? How can God use a Christian that has no power? That's it, how it works, church. I mean, you've got to have that power from on high. You know, I've done it before. A lot of times that battery go dead and you're almost done. I've grabbed a hold of the chuck and just cranked it on in manually. I'll make this work. A lot of times Christians try to make it work without the power just so they can say, I can do this without the power. You ain't doing nothing until you get plugged in. That's why he told that early church, those disciples, they needed the power from above, because it's different from power just from within. Everybody can be stubborn. You're talking to the most stubborn man in the whole wide world before he got saved. And I've been dealing with it ever since. Staying plugged in. I'll unplug it from time to time. Oh, better plug that back in. Woo! Yeah! Somebody tell you, you can't do it, you stand back and watch. Amen. It can be done. If there's a will, there's a way. Anybody ever heard that? How many's ever performed that yourself? Somebody said, I just don't think that can be done. And you just rolled up your sleeves and you went and you did it. Because if there is a will, there's a way. But there's no greater thing than to have the will of God going on in your life. Because if His will is the way, it'll happen. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Fellowship. Building that relationship. This is where that all transpires. The better relationship, the greater relationship we build with the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God and through the power of the Holy Ghost, the stronger our faith is going to be, and the more we will be able to overcome the battles, the struggles, the fiery darts of the enemy, the lies of the enemy, of trying to bring fear, doubt, and unbelief, and trying to throw a wet blanket on a hot fire of what God's doing. Oh, God of heaven, fellowship, building that relationship. In Malachi chapter 2, verse number 4, it says, "And ye shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." Now this is first of all talking about the Levites of the children of Israel and how God had called them out and separated them out because of their desire to serve him, and that everybody was to come to them to inquire of knowledge of God and things about God. And that God had placed that into their lives for that purpose. Now, in the context of that scripture, we find in the next verse that they forsook God. But now I want you to realize you and I are kings and what? Kings and priests unto God. Where is the world going to come to find knowledge about God? Where is the world going to come to find truth about the ways of God? They're going to come to you. They're going to come to me. Hallelujah. Because you and I are now the priest of God. You and I are now part of the church of God. We are part of the army of God. We are the ones that have the knowledge of the truth and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and have the ability and the power to build our relationship with Him, that we might be strong in the power of His might, strong in His word, strong in our walk. Hallelujah. That we're ready to give an answer to anyone that should ask of us the hope that lies within us. Why are you so happy? I'm on my way to heaven and I'm so glad. Hallelujah. Why are you so sad? I'm not. Why should I be? Why should the child of God be sad? I realize there are circumstances of life that try to drag us down. But I also realize the Comforter will lift us up, renew us, refresh us, remind us of the big picture. Sometimes we get tunnel vision and we lose sight of the big picture. We are standing up on the fourth floor of the Rogers County Courthouse, and from the fourth floor you can see all the way out to the outskirts of Claremore. But if you're down on the sidewalk, you don't see nothing but Carl's Jr. It's right across the road. In other words, you're very limited on what you can see when you're down on ground level. But you move up a little higher and you start getting the big picture. See, a lot too many times we're walking ground level, and God's calling us up. Come on up. There's a higher plane here. Hallelujah. You can see farther than what you're seeing, because a lot of times if you're just looking at what's right in front of you, you can't see what's going on. Hallelujah. Building that relationship with God. What is that? That's renewing my mind, realizing if all I'm seeing is what's in front of me, then I need to go to a higher level. I need to go to a higher plane. I've got to get back to a focus on God and the author and the finisher of my faith. Hallelujah. So that He can strengthen me, renew my mind. Hallelujah. So that I can walk forward with Him and see what's next on the agenda of life. So you and I have to build our relationship with God so that you and I can be the ones that the world comes to. I realize sometimes people come and ask questions. I don't know the answer yet. I said, I know it's in there, but I'm probably going to have to go look and find it again. Yeah, there ain't nothing wrong with that. You know where the answer's at. You know the source. Hallelujah. And you can bring an answer, praise God, to those that are around you. Now in Acts chapter 4, verse number 13, it says, Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. How would you like to be called unlearned and ignorant? I thought I was pretty smart. Well, yeah, but you didn't go to college. Well, no, I didn't go to college. But I'm still pretty smart. My dad had an 8th grade education. And he operated a farm for over 50, 60 years. And it prospered greatly. And he did business deals and big business transactions. And, I mean, he just took care of business in a great way on an 8th grade education. Don't misunderstand me. I think college is a good thing. How many remember everything you learned in college? You have to have something to recall it. I love math. When everybody was doing algebra in school, I could do it too. But I probably couldn't do an algebra lesson today of the quadratic formula without a refresher. Even though I did it day in, day out, could do it in my sleep, could do it with my eyes closed, and could rattle it right off when we were doing it. I couldn't do that right now. I'd have to go refresh. Yeah. So knowledge is great. You need to obtain it. But the greatest knowledge you can obtain is found right here. If you know more about the world than you know about this book, you've gained the wrong knowledge. It does amaze me sometimes how long a lot of people have went to church and they don't know anything about this book. It has amazed me multitudes of times. People I would have thought should have known. They don't know. Why? Because they weren't very fervent in building the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They were just saved, had been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and went to church faithfully. And that's as far as their Christianity went. That's not far enough. Not to be that priest, not to be that one that's going to bring the truth, not to be that one that's going to give the answers. You've got to build that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So they marveled at them because they knew that they had been with the greatest teacher in the whole wide world, Jesus Christ. And Jesus told them, you're not going to remember everything. And I've got things I want to tell you, but you can't take it right now. But when the Holy Ghost has come, He will bring all things that I've told you to your remembrance. Hallelujah. This is why we need plugged in. This is why we need that refresher. Hallelujah. There are times the Spirit of God moves and He brings everything that's been pumped in right back to our knowledge to share with somebody when we're put in the situation. Hallelujah. There's been a time or two that I've shared things that I didn't even know. And some would say, well, how in the world did you share it if you didn't know it? Because it was a direct plug into the Spirit of God. And I began to share things that I had no knowledge on, except God had knowledge on it, and He shared it with me. And I've sat different times talking to people, and I began to share things with them that only they and God knew. And God reaching for their soul. So, plugged in, church. Plugged in. Because even the knowledge that I gain, I don't remember it all. But when I'm plugged into the one who wrote it, He can bring it back. Recall. 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 Hallelujah. As you build your relationship with God, your relationship with the Spirit of God, to where He can operate that way in our minds. Recall. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to our God. In 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, we've been called into fellowship, not just so that our name's written down, but we've been called into fellowship. John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Building that relationship with God. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, will sup with him, and he with me. This is a reference to the fellowship God wants to have with the believers. I've got to open the door. I've got to plug in. I've got to ask. Hallelujah. And then God will come on the scene and help me build my relationship with me, so I will begin to understand and perceive how God works. And how the Spirit of God moves in my life and in the lives of others. Building that relationship. How is that done? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. This goes along with Sister Pepper and her testimony of desiring to worship God when she's out and about. This 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Verse 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is that? That's worshiping when you're out and about. In everything give thanks. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody cuts you off on the freeway. Thank you, Lord, for keeping me protected. Hello. Or you could go right on into road rage. But if you're going to worship God when you're out and about, you'll say, thank you, Lord, for protecting me. Praise God. Pray without ceasing. What is that? Keeping a mind frame that God knows your name. And so you don't have to go through the long exhortation of who you are. You can just ask of God. Talk to God. And God will talk to you. Amen. He'll quicken His word. Now, that's only if, 2 Timothy 2:15, you've studied to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. To put profane and vain babblings in a nutshell, so to speak, that's those people who want to talk about all the knowledge they have about God's Word. and they're not really wanting to build a relationship with God. It's just babbling because it's not bringing fruition in anybody's lives. It's just saying, look how much I know. That's what he's talking about. You want the Word of God to build your relationship with God. That's how you build it. You pray. You worship. You read His Word, rightly dividing the Word of truth. In other words, you lay before God. You kneel before God. You set before God. You open up God's Word. Hallelujah. And you let God talk to you. Don't try to figure out what it is or what it says. Let the Spirit of God talk to you from the Word of God so that you can shun profane and vain babblings. Hallelujah. And you can grow in His grace and His knowledge, being conformed to the image of Christ. The Word of God is not to prove a point. It's to build a relationship. Hallelujah. It's to know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, how to live for God. It's found right there in the Word. How to please God. It's found right there in the Word. Hallelujah. So we see them pray without ceasing and everything give thanks. Don't always jump on the negative bandwagon. I realize for a battery to operate, it's got to have positive and negative. But do you realize your carnal nature is negative enough to make your positive good and strong? You don't need to take the spiritual man and make you negative. You already got a negative. It's called the carnal man. And so by putting the carnal man down and putting Jesus Christ up is the positive and the negative making the power happen. Woo. Negativity is not needed. There's plenty of it already. Jesus Christ said, I did not come into this world to condemn this world. This world is already condemned. Can I put it to you like this? I didn't come into this world to bring negativity. The world's full of negativity. But I came to bring life. I came to bring power. I came to bring the positive side of a new life. Hallelujah. You combine that new life hooked to that negative old life. What's it do? It promotes the new life when you realize you don't want the negative part. You want the positive part. Hallelujah. You see, the devil's the negative part, and Christ is the positive part. Now tell me, do you still want to be negative? Woo, hello now. Praise God. I realize there's admonition in the Bible, but it's always done in meekness and lowly of mind. It's always done in esteeming others greater than ourselves. What is that? Well, that's the positive side of Jesus Christ. To putting the negative side down and doing it in a form and a fashion, it will help instead of hurt. It's amazing. You see, balance. That's why you got to have the positive and the negative. It's called balance. So as long as the negative's where it belongs and the positive where it belongs, you got balance. You have Christ. You have a relationship going on with God. Hallelujah. So pray without ceasing. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Study the Word of God. Shun profane and vain babblings. In other words, don't get caught up in debates. I'm sorry. Debates doesn't produce anything but debate. And that's fine if you want to argue about it. That's fine. I just found that arguing doesn't do anybody any good. If they want to know the truth, they'll come to the knowledge of the truth. If they don't, they won't. I walked the streets of Silver Dollar City one day and had an individual chasing me every 30 or 40 minutes. They were oneness and I was Trinity, and about every 30 minutes they'd come back around trying to convince me of oneness. And I finally said, stop. Quit. So you believe what you believe. I believe what I believe. I know I'm right. When we get to heaven, we'll find out. But right now, you go your way and I'll go mine. And we'll both be happy. Woo. Oh. Wasn't going to do any good for me to stand there toe to toe and argue with that individual. Because that's all they wanted to do. They just wanted to argue about it. They didn't come wondering, all right, what is truth? Show me the scriptures. No, they just wanted to convince me I was wrong and they were right. And I just didn't want to be convinced that way because I thought I was right and they were wrong. So tell me, where was that communication going? Nowhere. So that's why, you know, that's profane and vain babbling. That's not going to do any good. Just get in the Word. Build your relationship with God, and you will find that truth will just start flowing out of your life. And when truth starts flowing out of your life, people will start wanting some of it. Because truth always brings joy. Truth always brings peace. Truth always brings happiness. Hallelujah. Because Christ is truth. And so we're seeing then, you know, building that relationship with God starts overflowing. Hallelujah. And I'm going to close with this last scripture here tonight. 1 John 1 and 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Now if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Key factor, walk. Fellowship. Building that relationship. Walking in the light. Walking with Christ. Building that relationship with Christ. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The life of the Christian is a walk with Christ, walking in the light as He is the light, building that relationship with Him from the Word, from the Spirit of God, that our lives become light also. Now, God is light. In Him is no darkness. Remember, there's a light in the black hole. Sister Pepper, would you come back to the piano? Fellowship. Building a relationship with God. Day by day. Battle from battle. Victory from victory. Faith to faith. Line upon line. But continually. Building that relationship, continually building those times of prayer, building those times of worship, even outside these four walls. Building that camaraderie with God. Building that oneness with God. See, Jesus prayed to the Father, Father, that they could be one like You and I are one. Oh, that's a relationship, church. That's the relationship of relationships. That's a depth of a relationship to where... What's that mean? That means they think the same. They're one. What the Father thinks, the Son thinks, the Holy Ghost thinks. They're one. Building your relationship with God begins to bring you into that oneness with God to where you begin to have that mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? It's being a servant. It's being obedient. It's being kind. It's being merciful. It's being gracious. It's being hospitable. What is the mind of Christ? It's esteeming others greater than ourselves. It's putting ourselves down and putting others up. It's edifying. Hallelujah. I mean, that's the mind of Christ. You tell me. The mind of Christ sounds like it's always positive. Edify, kindness, love, esteeming others greater than ourselves. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. What is meekness? Putting others before ourselves. Hallelujah. We'll find it ain't that big a deal when we put others before ourselves. It's amazing. But church, that only comes as I build my relationship with Jesus Christ Because that's when I decrease, that he might increase. Old man is put further down, new man is made stronger. Hallelujah. And thus that relationship produces faith, confidence, glory. It produces that reality. To God be the glory. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. That's what it produces. That relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How in the world could Peter be crucified upside down at his choice? Because he didn't want to be crucified like his Savior was. How could he do that? I mean, bringing even more pain and torture upon himself because of the relationship he had with Jesus Christ. How could the Apostle Paul, when it came time to go and have his head chopped off, run with joy, refuse the hood, and willfully lay his head down with a smile? Today, I'll be with Christ. Because he already had a relationship with Jesus Christ that was beyond what this world can comprehend. That's the kind of relationship the world needs to be seeing from you and I. One that is willing for his will to be done, not mine. And finding joy therein. Hallelujah. Just like Enoch, walking with God. And he was not. Stand with us, church. God of heaven, we praise your holy name and we thank you, Lord, for the finished work of Calvary, whereby, Lord, our fellowship and our relationship can begin. Hallelujah. That veil's been rent from the top to the bottom, and access to your throne room has been given through the blood of Christ. Now we can build that fellowship. Now we can build that relationship. Now we can know you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, because it is your desire to fellowship with us. It is your desire to reveal the glories of heaven to us. It is your desire to give us understanding. Lord, to give us strength, to give us power. Hallelujah, to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise be to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Could we just lift our hands, church, right there where we're at tonight? Hallelujah. And let's just open up the door of our heart and of our soul and say, Lord, come on in. Oh, Lord, come in a greater measure. Come in a greater way, Lord. Reveal your glory from heaven, Lord. Hallelujah. Strengthen my heart. Strengthen my mind. Strengthen my soul. Lord, I want that fellowship. I want to build that relationship with you, Lord. Lord, let your word come alive. Let that light begin to shine into my soul. Lord, thus that my light might shine for you. Oh, that my light might shine for Jesus. Oh, more than ever before, God.